Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. And we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our buddy Stephen Holder, who covers the Colts and the NFL for ESPN. Stephen, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Doing awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. First off, what's it been like in Indy with the Pacers in the NBA Finals? I know I've seen your tweets about that. Obviously, I'm sure the buzz is amazing around there. We'll see if they can respond coming up in Game 6.
Well, I mean, they're about the only team in Indianapolis that's won anything lately. So there's that. It's been the Colts haven't won a division since 2014. So Pacers are all we got right now. I would say though, it is pretty fun to be, to have a front row seat to it, And I'll give you an example. My son got tickets to a watch party for one of the road games down at the field house, and I was like, you know what? I'll go just out of curiosity. Let's see how this goes. We could not find seats. The place was packed to the rafters. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
And so, I mean, we ended up in the upper deck. I was floored. So anyway, that's the kind of reaction you've seen lately. I mean, every sports bar is packed. I mean, on a Tuesday night or something, it's a really fun thing to be a part of. They are up against it though right now. So we'll see how that goes.
So, Stephen, obviously, heavy interest around here in Titans land, looking at Indy and the quarterback competition between Richardson and Daniel Jones. What do you make of kind of where things stand with that right now, and how do you foresee this all playing out once the season comes around?
Well, first of all, I mean, if you're a team with a quarterback question, you're hoping you have the privilege of choosing between Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones, because I think that's going to solve all your problems, right? it's not ideal. Let's be honest. We're here because Anthony Richardson has not been what they hoped. And that's for two reasons. It's not just performance, because I think performance you can be patient with a young quarterback. The problem here is the injuries, as I see it, frankly, the frequency of him getting hurt. And so when you put those two factors together, you have a situation where you can't necessarily count on the quarterback, and that's not a good place to be. So anyway, they have decided going into this offseason they needed to give themselves some options, and Daniel Jones was kind of the best they could do, frankly. Not a lot of draft ammunition, not a good quarterback class anyway. I mean, the Titans down there, I guess, got about the only quarterback worth a dang, So I just think they were in a tough spot, but they needed to do something to shake things up in their view. So this is what they settled on. I will say this, as we sit here today, I lean toward Daniel Jones, not because I think Daniel Jones is some kind of long-term answer. He's not, most likely, but I think just in terms of being a known quantity. Distribute the football. They have good playmakers. He can do that, I think. And then his reliability from an injury perspective, he gets a nod there over Richardson right now, who missed the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I guess I look at this, Stephen. I go back and say, man, Richardson came out with so little experience, with so much ability and obviously excitement, but so little experience. And was he rushed? It doesn't matter. You can't go back in time. Was he rushed into playing? Like you said, the durability is a huge thing. But I guess I feel like this could end up being a situation where it's like he loses out and it's like, man, did he – was this handled correctly? And is there still a great player in there at some point? And if so, should he have been given a lot more time before – he saw the field? But I don't know. Also, his accuracy has been alarming. Like, do you feel differently about his ceiling now than you did when he came out?
No, I actually think the ceiling is still there. I mean, I think a lot of things have to happen for him to get there, but I don't think it's out of the question, right? I mean, let me be clear too. When I say Daniel Jones, I just think that's the way this is heading. I don't know that I personally would handle it this way, frankly. And because I actually have a lot of questions about that. I think that, number one, when you draft a quarterback, you are you're tethering yourself to that quarterback and all the ups and downs that come with it. That's just how this works, right? A top five pick. That is a reality. Now, for the Colts, I think they understood that going in, and they said the right things and talked the right talk. But then when the reality hit, it's kind of hard to take sometimes. And I think there's a certain level of impatience right now in this town and even inside the organization. New owners, right? That's a factor. With Jim Irsay's daughters. And so I think there's some nervous people, frankly. And so a lot of fates are tied to this. And so the idea of waiting around longer for this to happen makes some people uncomfortable, in my estimation. And then the other thing that Chris Ballard has said, and he's not wrong, he said, look, you know, Anthony may, in fact, become the guy we hope for him to be. He says, in the meantime, we have to win. And whatever it takes for us to do that, we have to do. We have a responsibility to do that. There's truth to that, right? He's not wrong. But I do think there are some contradictions in the process of where we're at now. There have been some contradictions in getting there. And one of them is you say be patient with quarterbacks. Well, I don't think that's what this is.
Steven, speaking of quarterbacks, obviously Titans going Cam Ward, number one overall. We all know the Will Levis experiment did not work out for the Titans. So what do you make of Cam Ward and the situation he's walking into with the Titans and the player that you think the Titans might have in Cam Ward?
Well, first of all, you're asking the right guy because I'm a Miami alum. So
right.
I'm a huge Cam Ward fan. And I mean, he just gave us a transcendent season for that program. I mean, after what we've seen, frankly, for the last 20 years, it was just painful, just, you know, and some close calls with maybe being good and relevant, but nothing like last year. And it didn't end the way Miami fans wanted, but there has not been, I don't think, a single program changing player in that program over the last couple of decades. I don't think anything that compares to Cam Ward, because it usually has to be a quarterback, right? And they just haven't had that. And so I think with Cam, what you have there is a player who has magic. He just has a magic about him. And I don't know how it'll translate. We'll see. Because he's going to have to be smarter. There are a lot of plays that he extended at the college level that he can't do that at the NFL level. Not in the same fashion. He's got to be smarter, get rid of the football, holds on maybe a little too long. But he can do that because he is a superior athlete. And they made a lot of plays last year that should never have happened. They only happened because Cam Ward has that it factor. So with him, really, it boils down to putting players around him. And that can't all happen at one time. But I think over time, if he's who we think he is, if you put the players around him, he has enough of that sort of, you know, sixth sense about him to make things happen and make those players better. And to put them in position to win. So I'm very optimistic about Cam Ward, and I think he's going to frustrate a lot of teams just because he has that escapability. He has that, I mean, spectacular arm talent, right? So I'm really interested to see how this plays out. There will be some bumps in the road because that's just what happens, but I think he's going to have some really interesting moments this season.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. You know, Steven, you know, you mentioned ownership change, of course, with the passing of Jim Irsay. Fascinating situation, of course, with his three daughters and they're sort of sharing the duties. I know a lot was made of, you know, the wearing of the headset on the sideline and things like that. And the quote, is this person full of BS? I mean, I love that quote. But in your piece, there's something that kind of going back to Anthony Richards, which I found really interesting from Carly Irsay Gordon talking about Richardson, who she says, quote, I think he has all the potential in the world. And if he wants to prove it, he can. He will if he wants to, end quote. And I'm wondering, like, I guess one thing I went back to is like the tap out last year, which, mm-hmm. you know, obviously much was made of that. Like, is that the feeling that in the organization that like he can still do more to make himself great?
Well, I do think, well, first of all, good instincts, because, I mean, we had the same reaction locally here about that quote. And, you know, I don't think we can necessarily assign motive to what she said, but I do think that Anthony has had to learn some hard lessons because, and not because, you know, he's not diligent or not serious about the those things. I think it's more about just ignorance. And ignorance, people have a bad reaction to that word sometimes. I just think that just means you don't know any better. And I think that's a failure of his on his part and the organization's part. And so, for example, there's just an expectation with quarterbacks in this league that you're going to go over and above. And the problem with Anthony is that I think most quarterbacks today, most of these young quarterbacks who are blue chip recruits coming up, they grew up in a world where quarterbacks are groomed like pros at even the high school level. And Anthony was not like that. He went to his neighborhood high school. He wasn't at all the big national camps. He just was this superhuman athlete. And he shows up at Florida and they're like, oh, this guy's really good. Because he grew up down the street from the campus, by the way. And so, yes, he ends up at Florida because he's a local kid. And then he ends up in this world where now he is part of that group of quarterbacks, but he doesn't know how to be that guy, right? So he rolls up to Indianapolis and he's like, oh, this is great. I'm just one of the guys. Well, no, you're not. You're a quarterback and you got to be the first guy there, last guy to leave. That's just what it is. And the optics of that matter as much as the actual practical application, right? There's an expectation of it because everybody in that locker room wants to have the sense that you're outworking all of them because your job is the most important one. So that was where this hard lesson came from. As much as the tap out, I think it was really about, like, we need you to take stock of what this job really is and whether you're doing everything you can to be successful at it. So I think it could be that quote. It could be a reinforcement of that, right, which was said to him last year. And he has gotten a lot better from everything I've been told. But it is different, the fact that that point had to be made. I just wonder why the organization let it fester for so long.
Stephen, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Good luck to the Pacers coming up in Game 6, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Stephen Holder, our guest, Steven, here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your reaction to Stephen, what he had to say, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Colts quarterback Anthony Richardson has suffered a shoulder injury and will be out for minicamp next week. Shane Steichen would also go on to say that the hopes are that he will be back for training camp. The hopes are that he's back for training camp in a couple months from now. Is obviously a little bit alarming, but he has had a shoulder injury in the past, got tackled, had surgery, missed the season, came back last year. Obviously, he's had numerous other injuries as well throughout his short NFL career thus far. Shoulder injury, not good. Hopefully, this isn't something that has been lingering, and hopefully this is something he can get past, because this year is a year where he can explode on the scene as a superstar in the NFL, live up to the number 4 overall pick hype that he was just a few years ago. Daniel Jones has been brought in to compete with him. Danny Dimes looking to make Indianapolis his forever home after everything that happened in New York. Obviously, an injury in minicamp and OTAs is not great, but at least we got Danny Dimes there.
That was an excited Pat McAfee on the quarterback situation for the Colts. Anthony Richardson and Danny Dimes battling it out in training camp coming up for Indianapolis. You heard it there from Stephen Holder, Joe. He feels like Daniel Jones is probably the direction that this thing is headed in Indianapolis. So what did you make of what Stephen Holder had to say on the whole Anthony Richardson saga currently going on in Indianapolis?
Well, first of all, Stephen Holder was awesome, as he always is. Great, great insights on the Colts there. And on, you know, that think about the conversation we've had. And also, by the way, if you're a Titans fan listening to Stephen Holder, you might have a little extra excitement today. This is a guy who, I promise you, watched every snap of Cam Ward last year playing for the U as a diehard Miami alum. So I think he makes some good points about his escapability, his sixth sense, and why he thinks it's going to work out. I mean, you listen to that, you got to be kind of excited. But on the Colts front, you know, I think everybody seems to think it was already headed toward Daniel Jones, and that's before we continually get to this Anthony Richardson staying in one piece, and that may end up being his undoing anyway. But I thought it was really fascinating when you compare what Holder was talking about with, You do have to be the guy who shows up first. You have to be the guy who leads, all those things that Cam Ward, right, is already gets. Cam Ward has come into the NFL ready to do some things that you just sort of have to do if you're going to take command of a football team. And obviously Anthony Richardson didn't do it. I also think that, and Holder said this, a lot of blame has to go to the Colts. A lot of blame. You know, so he's not ready. He doesn't get everything. He's barely played football, and they just throw him out there. And it just, you know, you can't go back, but I just think it's just a huge misplay on their part going back a couple of years ago. So, you know, from now, it's going to be really interesting. I think there's still a very talented player in there. But as you pointed out, we've talked about, if you're that inaccurate, at some point, it doesn't matter if you can throw the ball a million yards or if you can run a 4-3, right? It just, yep. Like, that's what it comes down to in this league more than anything.
I mean, just watching him, Richardson seems as far away from being a really, really good player in the league now as he did when he first entered the league. And maybe that's not true. I don't know. But that's just watching him the way that I feel. You want to know a crazy stat here, Joe? Anthony Richardson is 23, was born on May 22nd in 2002. Cam Ward is 23, was born on May the 25th, 2002. Anthony Richardson is 3 days older than Cam Ward. And we're talking about him potentially already being out of a job in Indianapolis, entering into his third year. Quite the kind of amazing juxtaposition there, Joe Rexroad.
Yeah, and so obviously hugely different paths to the NFL, but again, one of them has played so much football. And probably to his benefit, I'm sure it's to his benefit, there's a documentary coming out. Doesn't need to be six parts, but there's a documentary coming out about the path that he's had to take to keep building himself into a player, whereas Anthony Richardson's so gifted, it's like boom, boom, and then here you go, you're in the NFL. And again, doesn't mean Cam Ward's going to work out any better than he did, but certainly Cam Ward is way more prepared to start game one as a rookie than the guy who's the same age as him who did that 2 years ago, right? And there's no comparison there. Real quick, by the way, as I'm talking about Anthony Richardson and his lack of accuracy, Warren Sharp has a stat that he tweeted out about most accurate QBs when kept clean. Can you guess where Anthony Richardson ranked?
When kept clean? 29th.
33rd.
Okay.
Will Levis, 26, by the way. For people who think the whole Will Levis story is about, you know, these killer mistakes, it's a big part of it. It's about missing gimmies as much as anything. I'll continue to say that. Do you know who number one is? Most accurate quarterback when kept clean.
Goff.
It's a good guess, but it's Kirk Cousins. And both of those guys are guys who – Goff is eighth. I'm actually surprised he was that low. Cousins, Geno, Burrow, your top three. Jalen Hurts, four. Daniel Jones, five, by the way, which is interesting. But,
oh, boy.
Yeah, you know, but that just goes to show you. I mean, Kirk Cousins, he's he has a fraction of the talent of Anthony Richardson. Like, really. And of a lot of these guys who are starters in the NFL. But – if you hit the strike zone and you paint the corner every time, that makes up for so much. And if you are all over the place and you can't command your fastball, it doesn't matter that you throw 103.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Now, the problem is with those numbers, how often is everything kept clean, you know? that's what it boils down to. Like, how often are things kept clean around you?
Well, and that's the thing, but that's why, like the Detroit Lions, I know Adam Portland's going to be mad at me for talking about the Lions. I swear I hate them, Adam. But that's like Jared Goff. I still think Sean McVay was right in what he did. I mean, he won a ring, so no one's really disputing it. But like, he made the right choice. He got the better quarterback in, Matthew Stafford. But the Lions have put together such an incredible run game and offensive line and offense around him. He has looked like an MVP candidate. There's a lot of other situations in this league. We've talked about this, but I'll say it again. This is like he's such a great example of why we judge quarterbacks too much on their own and not enough on their conditions. If Jared Goff were with the Tennessee Titans the last couple of years, we'd think he's absolute trash. We would think he is a trash QB. He'd be on his way out of the league because he wouldn't be able to compensate for the lack of protection. And that is part of the evaluation of Will Levis. I'm not saying he's going to be a starter in this league or anything like that, but it's still such a huge deal. Now, again, when Levis is 26, still when clean, that tells you why he's out of a job right now.
Yep. Coming up next, there's another quarterback in our state that's spicing things up a little bit in a rivalry. We'll get into that coming up next. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Body Rock. Plank, lunge, twist, and push your limits with Body Rock's dynamic muscle sculpting Pilates-inspired classes designed to rock your body to the core. Get half off a $50 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals to use any of Body Rock's four Nashville locations while supplies last. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. I got some tickets to give away to the Preds Beer Festival at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Saturday, June the 28th. Be caller number 5-615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to the Preds Beer Festival coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, June the 28th. Joe Rexroad, we've talked a lot today and this week about Cam Ward so far. There's another quarterback in the state of Tennessee that's spicing things up a little bit. What have we learned today on the Diego Pavia front?
My goodness, dude. I mean, you got to love this guy. Like, you got to love this. Give this guy a lifetime education, unlimited eligibility, please. I want him quarterbacking Vanderbilt until he's like George Blanda smoking a cigarette on the sidelines at age like 52 with the Houston Oilers. My goodness, this is amazing. So Pavia went on Bussin' with the Boys, which this episode apparently came out at 6 a.m. today, okay? So I'm reading from Zach Reagan's piece on AZ Sports. Zach Reagan might shade a little toward the Vols, by the way.
I think that might be the case.
But he said, here's some quotes from Pavia. Quote, Vanderbilt is going to run Tennessee after this year. This is going to be the new staple of college football. It's going to happen here at Vanderbilt. Okay, I got more quotes from Pavia. Quote, everyone wants to come to Tennessee because of Nashville. They want to come to Nashville, so Vanderbilt's in Nashville, and then we have the most money in NIL. Like, why not come here? So we literally just have to win this year, and throughout the rest of the year, it'll take care of itself. First of all, that's breaking news if Vanderbilt has the most money in NIL. I know Vanderbilt's doing better than some people probably think in NIL, which is part of why they've been successful, and also some terrific choices, starting with Pavia, who is an absolute program changer of a personality. But obviously these words will be amplified and replayed, and they'll be all over the Vols locker room before Vanderbilt heads to Tennessee at the end of the year next year. But I guarantee you this, he will go out on that field before the game. He will say those words to all the Vols too, and then we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
man, tip of the cap to Pavia. I don't know if he's going to be able to, back this up and beat Tennessee at Tennessee next year, but I do know that he has brought this like confidence and just it's swagger to that program that I would doubt it's ever had.
First off, I love it. Like anything, this is kind of similar to the baseball discussion. Anything that pours gasoline on the Tennessee Vanderbilt fire, I'm here for. So this is awesome. Like Diego Pavia, keep talking, and I think it's great. And I mean, frankly, Pavia, I think, is exactly the type of player and person that Vanderbilt football has needed for a long time, right? Like, number one, he's really good on the field when he's healthy, right? I think you saw injuries creep in toward the end of last regular season where he was not quite the same. And then I thought he looked more like Diego Pavia that we saw earlier in the season in the bowl game. So, number one, he's a really good player. And number two, the confidence, the swagger, whatever you want to call it, he's got it. And I think Vanderbilt football has needed that for a long time. I'm with you. I don't know that this Vanderbilt team is going to be equipped to go on the road to Neyland Stadium and take down Tennessee. They got off to a great start against Tennessee at home last year, and then Tennessee's the game went on, took over the game, and it was actually probably – one of Nico's best games that he played at Tennessee. So the quarterback situation for Tennessee this year is going to be interesting to see, but I love it. I mean, I love the I love the confidence. I love the swagger. It's, I mean, really, if you're being objective about it, it's really difficult to not like Diego Pavia.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you could possibly not love the dude. I mean, he's just, he's great. And again, like, he talks it every game. He backs it up in terms of like his play. He's got to be the toughest slash most reckless QB I've ever seen running the football, right? And which got him hurt last year, by the way, and he wasn't as effective.
Yep.
Then they get to the bowl game, and it's like, oh, that's what it looks like when he can run again, you know? But no, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I don't know how you can not love it. I got a texter who says, I like Pavia, but those comments sound delusional. You know, if you take it away from, again, this will be play, this will be talked about in terms of the rivalry, right?
Yeah.
Primarily. But I think, you know, look, I think that he is also talking big picture here. And I don't disagree that, first of all, we've talked forever about Vanderbilt has advantages. Nashville is an advantage. Nashville is a draw. The SEC is a draw. The education of Vanderbilt, for a lot of people, is a draw too. That is attractive. Again, most of these, you know, 99% of these players aren't going to the NFL. So that Vanderbilt degree is a draw. So now you do have NIL activated. They've got that going at this point. And if you have a good year this year, like, I think Vanderbilt can be set up for success like it hasn't been in a long time. And again, maybe ever. I mean, I think Vanderbilt's an example of a program that now that they have, like, the stadium's going to be pretty cool this year. I saw it during the baseball regional. I walked through the stadium, and, like, it's actually, like, it's going to be a cool place. Yeah. It started to get there this year. It's going to be cool. You do have some money coming in, and you can make up some of the gap on some things that in the past you just had no chance of overcoming, now more than you ever could. Doesn't mean it'll happen for sure, but if they have a good year this year, you know, they win like 7 games, which I think is probably about the ceiling, 7-8 maybe. I mean, you have changed the program profile pretty dramatically in a short period of time.
I agree with everything you just said. Now, I would also probably agree with the texter from the standpoint of Vanderbilt running Tennessee after this year is probably a little bit of an overstatement, would be my guess.
Yes, that may be tough, because for all the advances Vanderbilt has made to get themselves more competitive, Tennessee still prints money. And, you know, so, but this is, I mean, it ends up being this really interesting moment, because the whole Nico thing has made it so Tennessee might just be like an average team this year, you know?
Yeah.
Like so they might be, I mean, they are much more vulnerable. We'll see what happens at QB for them, but they are more vulnerable on paper right now for Vanderbilt to come in there and beat them. Now, we've seen Vanderbilt have success in this rivalry, but that was when Tennessee was miserably down. So it's hard to imagine Tennessee being, you know, over a period of time, not being the better program.
It is. We brought this up earlier in the offseason, but, you know, I'm always interested to periodically check the lines and see if they've changed any. And they're still the same. I mean, Tennessee's over-under win total, according to the FanDuel Sportsbook, is 8.5. So it's right where it was. It was 9.5 before Nico left, and now it's dropped down to 8.5. Vanderbilt remains at 4.5. And we've talked about Vanderbilt's schedule. I mean, it's the same schedule, basically, that they had last year. You've just got Alabama on the road, Tennessee on the road, Texas on the road. So those are some pretty difficult road games that they're going to have to try to find a way to navigate. But, I mean, if you're feeling good, if you're a Vanderbilt fan, you can get pretty good money on more than 4.5 wins for Vanderbilt right now.
I feel good about that. You know, I really do. I had this, and now I've lost it on my phone, but there's a college football account that tweeted out, you know, one of the most important things – experience is huge, but especially offensive line experience, that there is a pretty strong correlation between that and success. And Vanderbilt, I believe, ranks 12th in the nation with 120 offensive line starts coming back this year. So that's something to keep in mind between that and the scheme and what Pavia does in that scheme. I mean, they're going to be – look, they're going to score points, you know. They're going to they're going to make plays. They're going to be fun to watch. They're going to be a problem for opposing defenses. And then we're just going to have to see what they can do in terms of getting stops when they play some of the better teams in their schedule. And one thing we've seen in the Heupel era, you know, you go back to like Pruitt and Butch, and they struggle. But the Heupel era, so far, you know, Vanderbilt has not found any answers whatsoever for that offense, even when it hasn't been that good.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We've got Game 6 of the Cup Final coming up tonight. We'll give our thoughts on that coming up next, plus a couple points on the Diego Pavia and Cam Ward fronts to wrap up the show with as well. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie and Rex Road live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. David in Arkansas says, Diego's got too much confidence for a guy who hasn't beaten Tennessee. He's not allowed to be that confident, and then says in parentheses something that Stilly would say. I do enjoy the confidence discussion around here. I am fine with Cam Ward and Diego Pavia having all the confidence that they have.
Yeah, this could be, boy, that confidence, not allowed. You have to do something before, you know. I have confidence that I can open this jar of pickles, but you haven't opened it. You can't have confidence you can open it.
Does Joey Aguilar have confidence? I haven't heard from Joey Aguilar yet.
I don't know. Hopefully he'll respond to Pavia. We'll get this going. Hey, one quick thing on the text line, Robbie, I wanted to get to real fast.
Yep.
Someone pointed out to me on the Sinners thing, you know, why the heck would you bring a 14-year-old to an R-rated movie? You know, that's a fair question. I mean, my only answer is, you know, honestly, like our oldest, I probably wouldn't have. But as a parent, you just gradually, your standard just continued to lower.
They deteriorate.
This happened to my baby sister, too. She was just allowed to do everything while, like, we were, like, restricted. It's like, oh, yeah, let Trish do whatever she wants. So, basically, that's what happens with parents. So, yeah, I took her to an R-rated movie. I mean, most R-rated movies, like, a 14-year-old, you know,
yeah,
especially, like, a vampire and whatever. Someone also brought up the point of why are we so appalled by, you know, graphic sex scenes but not, like, someone blowing someone's head off. And I think that's a fair point to bring up, but I am. Like, I'm okay sitting with my daughter watching a vampire rip someone's throat open. I am not okay sitting there and watching a sex scene.
I mean, I was like 8 years old when The Patriot came out with Mel Gibson and Heath Ledger in that. It's it's an R-rated, it's a war movie. I watched it all the time. I was like, yeah, let's just turn on The Patriot as we sit here and eat dinner. And I was like 10 years old. So,
by the way, The Patriot has one of the absolute best/worst movie lines ever. Can I sit down? Sure, it's a free country, or
at least it will be. Yes, yes.
Wow, movie-making magic right there.
Very good stuff, very good stuff. Cup Final coming up tonight, Joe. You've got game number 6. Florida with a chance to go back-to-back and win their second consecutive Stanley Cup. Edmonton trying to stave off elimination and get it back to Edmonton for a home game for game 7. We talked with Sean Rourke from NHL.com earlier. If you missed that, check it out, Robbie and Rex Road, wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, TheGameNashville.com. So I'm excited to watch this game. I think it's going to be an uphill climb for Edmonton in that building with the Cup being in the building. I mean, this is kind of the moment for McDavid and Draisaitl where, you know, legendary performances are made. And I don't think it's some unwinnable game for Edmonton. Like, if you told me they won tonight, I wouldn't be shocked by it or anything. But I do think, you know, Florida has figured out a pretty good formula here. They've been unbelievably heavy on the forecheck and forcing turnovers a lot. And as Sean brought up earlier, Brad Marchand at this point is just a huge matchup problem where he's slotted in this lineup for Edmonton, and he has taken advantage of that over the course of the series. So my expectation is that Florida is going to win tonight, Joe, and they're going to win the Cup for the second time in a row. But we'll see if McDavid and Draisaitl have a championship-level response in them tonight.
Give me the Oilers. I think that they're going to figure out – you know, I thought Sean Rourke brought up great points. One, making me relive the pain of not winning back-to-back Stanley Cups in 2009 – and how Pittsburgh, I think he had it mixed up though. Pittsburgh actually had to win the first game at home. Then game seven was in Detroit. They actually won. They won game seven in Detroit.
Yep.
But anyway, point being, you know, sometimes it's the role player who comes out of nowhere and gives you that huge goal, right? So I'm looking at Victor Arvidsson, Arvy Hussle,
nice,
screaming down the right side, putting one of those one-timers in, and it might take something like that. Yes, it's McDavid and Draisaitl. They need somebody to come step up and give them something unexpected. And again, yeah, like, I mean, Marchand, I don't know. Does he have a chance to win the Conn Smythe given this? I think he should be in the discussion.
He absolutely has a chance.
You know, and it's just an incredible pickup for them. But it's, you know, it's a guy that is not one of the stars, quote unquote, of this team. He's been a star in the league for a long time, but Edmonton needs somebody like that along with their stars. I think they're going to figure it out. I think they're going to get it done. I think we're going to have an epic game seven, or maybe I just hope, but well, I'm going
to
go with that.
I'm pulling for that. I'm pulling for Edmonton to win tonight. I'd love to see Matthias Ekholm get a cup and Victor Arvidsson get a cup. I think that'd be cool. Having said that, if they lose tonight, and if you're a Predators fan looking for, you know, like if you're rooting for Ekholm and you're hoping Edmonton wins, if you're looking for some solace, if they lose tonight, this will be the fifth Stanley Cup final in the last 6 years for Corey Perry, and he will have lost all of them. He will have lost five in a row. Now Perry did win a cup early, really early in his career, in 07 with the Ducks, but he's been to five of the last six finals, and then he would have lost all five of them
if they lose
tonight. I know Ian's just broken up about it.
Feel so bad for him.
No, that's the one solace that I take if they lose, you know, is like at some point it's like, guys, Corey Perry, if you sign him, you will have the ultimate tease and you will be more miserable than any other team in the league at the end of the year because you had to live with that guy for several months and then you also are going to lose every time.
He's a habitual line stepper.
It's nice. Kind of amazing. Like if they, you know, if you're him, you just got to be like, oh my God, like what gives here? So we'll see if Edmonton has any response tonight. Joe, we got a lot of response on the Predators discussion earlier. We'll revisit that a little bit later in the week and get more people's thoughts on that. But just to kind of summarize it real quick, big offseason, and I'm not sure exactly what all answers are out there. Although Sean Rourke did say, Joe, that, and I agree, he expects a lot of chaos from the time the cup final ends until the draft goes down and the start of free agency. And he wonders if the Predators could be involved in some of that. That is going to be very interesting to monitor over the next few weeks.
Yeah, they have to do something, but the something has to be, how good can you be next year?
We're going to find out. We're going to find out. Going to be a fun night tonight. Cup final coming up in game number six. We will have full reaction to that on tomorrow's program. We will also continue to monitor the NBA Finals as that goes on. And look, you know, maybe Rexroad may have talked me in today to becoming a huge Coastal Carolina Chanticleers fan.
Go Chance. I mean, Chance. Isn't that weird?
I mean,
Chance.
Coach was upset about it. We are not the Chanticleers. We are the Chanticleers. Say it with me.
Yeah, all right, man. Take it easy. It's not a chandelier. It's a chandelier.
Marcus Mariota. That does it for us today here on the program. Chase and Big Joe Moses is coming Moody. Up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.